City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, August 21st, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, Executive Director of Dakota Media Access, and I'm here with Jim Neubauer.
Easy for you to say, Mary.
Yes, from the city of Mandan. And yes, we're going to talk about the Mandan City Commission meeting last night.
Absolutely. We had a long one last night.
You did. There were a lot of agenda items on there. It was packed up.
Packed house last night. Good public comments. So, like I said, that's what makes it fun some days.
Absolutely. Well, and before the agenda really got rolling, there was an introduction of a new member of the Mandan Police Department, the first canine for the department,
yes. And Cooper is the name of our new canine, and Scott Warshecka, I get that straight. Officer Warshecka was out in Pennsylvania for 6 weeks and training and getting bonding with Cooper, and like I said, it's great to have him on board, and he has already proven his worth, I will say that, within the last few days.
Yeah.
So it's a...
And the dog was named Cooper in honor of the donation from Cooper Chevrolet,
right. Bob Cooper from Cooper Chevrolet kind of issued a challenge to the city commission and said, hey, I will put up $12,000 if you match it or go above that for the acquisition of the dog and also provide the training. So the city commission took that and said, absolutely, we'll do it. And like I said, we're awful happy to have Cooper as part of our police force today.
And the dog came from the Czech Republic. As you said, they were trained in Pennsylvania together. And I thought it was interesting. I'm not sure which commissioner asked the question about what would you want people to know about this dog? Right. And Officer Warshecka said, he said, the one thing I'd like people to know is that before you reach to him or pet the dog, please, if you see him around, ask permission. Let me know what's going on. Yeah,
I
don't want to startle the dog.
That's good advice for anyone with any animal. It's always, you know, if the handler or the owner is with a dog or whatever animal it is, you check with the owner first and say, hey, can I pet your critter?
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, when I first was introduced to Cooper last night, it was like, okay, can I put my hand out? Because I kind of value my fingers. I don't want one bitten off. And it's always a good idea to ask the officer before you make any sudden movements in front of a dog or anything like that. So
we'll be seeing Cooper out and about in Mandan. And I think
Cooper's out and about.
Police chief also said that another canine will be probably joining the force in the next year.
Yep. Part of the budget request for 2020 was to add another canine. Preliminary, that was approved. Has to go through the final budget in September. But we look to adding another canine here in 2020.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Yep.
Now let's get down to business.
Okay.
There were a number of public hearings last night. One was introduction and a first ordinance on crematoriums and the location of crematoriums. And this is an item or a subject that's been coming back to the commission a few times this year.
We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And in this case, there was a zoning change request that was made up in the northwest part of Mandan. The commission had said, okay, last go around, crematoriums would only be allowed in our Mandan Union Cemetery on city-owned property. This time, there was a request that came in. Went through planning and zoning. They considered it, made a recommendation up to the city commission that, we should be allowing crematoriums, not just in the Mandan Union Cemetery, but probably in some other parts of town where zoning would be appropriate. And that's what the commission did last night.
Mm-hmm.
So this will come back for a second consideration in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And very little public comment on that one last night. So the location would be an industrial part of town, and all the neighbors seem to be okay with this.
We're generally accepted location for that. And it doesn't exclude the Mandan Union Cemetery from ever having a crematory there. That's still allowed.
Yep.
Other than that, though, industrial zone property.
Yep. And you have to meet several setback requirements and things like that. So it just can't go anywhere. There are still those restrictions.
Okay. Sounds good. Two weeks public hearing on that one.
2 weeks, yes. Okay.
All right. In your public hearing section last night, there was also a request from Malloy the Malloy company, and a representative of the company gave some background on who they are and what they do. Yep. That was really interesting. But they had actually two items on the agenda last night that they needed addressed.
Yep, they had the public hearing was regarding kind of a replat. They were joining, I think, three lots, different lots into one. Mm-hmm. They're built on one lot, if you're familiar, in the east end of the strip, close to Classic Grok Coffee and DeWise Perry Funeral Home is out in that neck of the woods. Okay. Action Motorsports, pretty large operation they have out there. They're looking to expand, and so they bought the two lots adjacent to them, and they're joining those all three lots into one lot so they can expand. And that was the first item that was up for public hearing.
So it's kind of a
last night.
Replat, just
correct,
making three lots into one, and
pretty
that went
standard
through.
That usually. Yeah. There's usually not too many issues with that one.
Yeah. And this property sits on a cul-de-sac. It's kind of tucked back in Memorial Highway between Memorial Highway and the interstate. So it's kind of it's not the most visible location, but it sits on a cul-de-sac. And the other part of their request last night, another item was a variance request for driveway.
Right. And by our code of ordinances, you're allowed two driveways, a certain amount of width, and they have to be so far apart from each other. For commercial property.
Right.
And that's pretty standard stuff. Again, Malloy Electric comes in and says, you know what, for our operations, we're going to ask the commission for a variance because just the way we do business and how we move things in and out of those buildings become problematic with the expansion that we're going to have if we're only allowed driveways in certain places. Again, it's a matter of our city engineer, Justin Froseth, we look at the code. Here's what the code says. We don't have the authority to kind of willy-nilly say, yes, you can do that or no, that you can't. The remedy is for the applicant to file a variance to be considered by the city commission. Mm-hmm. Last night, Malloy Electric made those arguments. It said this would cause a hardship to our business. Commission listened, and they granted the variance. And for our public works folks, the big issue we have in cul-de-sacs is snow removal.
Sure.
When you now have, everyone has a three-stall garage in the residential and even in commercial places, there's just nowhere to put the snow in wintertime. In this case,
it's very limited.
Yep, Malloy is right across from Action Motorsports. They said, hey, we'll take care of the snow in this area. We don't see that as a bit stumbling block.
Okay.
And again, commission consider it, listen to what they had to say, and allow the variance to go through. So we look forward to Malloy expanding in the near future in Mandan. So a lot of neat things that I didn't know that they did in their building.
Yeah.
And so it's a
nice
significant operation. Yes.
Yeah. Also under public hearings was a variance request for a setback for a tower to be located pretty much in the same area we're talking about in this back area of Memorial Highway.
Yep. And that was, again, we've got rules and regulations on tower height and where they setbacks and how far that tower needs to be set back from adjoining property. In this case, I think the setback is 220 feet. And where they were looking at this located was about 20 feet from an adjacent property line. Again, application went through planning and zoning. A couple of the adjoining neighbors said, we're not too excited about this. We would rather not have a variance be provided. Commission heard both sides of the story last night. One was by the applicant and one in turn was by the property owners that said, we don't think you should
And the applicant came was from a consulting firm, an engineering firm that is representing AT&T. So
correct.
This is an AT&T tower.
AT&T project.
About 200 feet high.
Yep. And they're indicating that it would be for the 5G capacity in this area. And like I said, I think the representative said, I'm given a circle. I need to go find a location for a tower within the circle. This is one of the locations they came up with. Again, you've got existing businesses and existing property owners surrounding that location that we're not too excited about it. So again, the commission heard both sides and decided to deny this variance request for the tower to be built there.
Support the staff recommendation
recommendation
in this situation.
And the adjoining property owners.
Well, and I think that we talked earlier too, and I think that the thing to me that was interesting was the variance request was fairly extreme, if you will. Mm-hmm. The requirement is 220 feet for the setback. The variance request was to take it down to 20 feet.
Yep.
That's a pretty big jump.
And that's in there because if you've got a 200-foot tall tower and it may tip over, you don't want it falling on an adjoining building.
Absolutely.
Next to it. Or in this case, I think the consultant said, well, they're not going to fall over. They'll probably bend if anything happens on a very, very rare occurrence. But again, property owners were there adjoining and said, you know, we're not excited about this. Mm-hmm.
So. Along with staff recommendations. Yes. So the city said no on that one.
Yep.
Also under public hearings was, and this was a larger part of the meeting, I believe, mm-hmm. was the Meadow Ridge 5 and 6 additions.
Meadow Ridge 5 and 6 up east of the Walmart area mm-hmm. and east of the middle school. There's kind of an old area, not an old area, because I guess it is an area that is yet to be developed, just south of the interstate and east of the Walmart division. There are a couple concerns in that area. One for the existing folks in Meadow Ridge, I think 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. In this case, when that area was built out not too long ago, streetlights were not installed. And that was because at that time, I think city was going through some discussions, and we know that city of Bismarck at that time was saying, okay, we're not going to put streetlights in a development until maybe 70% of those lots are filled up or mm-hmm. a certain percentage. Then we'll come back and put streetlights in. We allowed that in Meadow Ridge 1, 2, and 3. I don't think, you know, we questioned whether we should do that in the past. We tried it, and here we have these subdivisions that are built out now with no streetlights.
Sure.
Now we're going to have to go back in, create an assessment mm-hmm. district, and install streetlights, and people, it's much easier to do when you're not worried about people now have their lawns, their landscaping done, and here comes a streetlight to be plopped in your property.
Right. And I think that you had at least two, maybe three people from this 1, 2, and 3
yes.
phase testify on the issue of streetlights. And it was really based on safety because they're just seeing a lot of children in the area riding bikes, and there's no lighting in that.
Right. And there's three people that showed up last night. I've gotten questions and emails from a couple other folks that I know personally up there that have asked, when are streetlights going to come mm-hmm. in? And we've said when the next development starts in that area, then streetlights are going in.
Yeah.
So,
but that's separate from what was on the agenda, actually.
Separate from the agenda last night.
Even though there was some discussion to combine this agenda items, which is 4 and 5, excuse me, 5 and 6.
5 and 6.
With the older project, and mm-hmm. there was some resistance by staff, said that we really don't want to be doing that. Yep. However, we are going to be taking a look at
Commission,
the streetlight issue.
Commissioner Larson at the end of the meeting said, I just want to make sure that staff looks at streetlights in this area. And we said, we've already got that noted. We'll get her taken care of. The issue last night was the Meadow Ridge 4 and 5. Another one of the concerns came in from a property owner where a lot of this water drains to, you know, over the last 15 years where the new middle school was built and several other subdivisions have come in, may have added some water to their basin, or, you know, it's moving out slower or faster, but it's in their mind is creating issues.
They've been there for decades, and they've seen all this development come and it's changed a little bit of the flow. Yep. So
I think the land has been in their in their family's hands for probably over 100 years.
Wow.
And so they've seen all the development up north. They've seen what's happened in the refinery, how that developed and things like that. And they just, Tom and Loretta are there to express their concern and say, you really need to pay attention mm-hmm. on your stormwater plans for these subdivisions so that it's not negatively impacting us. Mm-hmm. City Commission took note of that. I think we have all been out to Tom and Loretta's house, and we've had coffee and we've had cookies, and we've talked about what we can do to remedy this. And so we've had many discussions. But again, it's a chance for the public. It is a public hearing to mm-hmm. say, please pay very close attention to what goes on here.
Yeah. Otherwise, a lot of these things wouldn't be noticed and wouldn't get any attention. And she did a very nice job of presenting her information.
Yep.
So
several pictures on here's what it used to look like, here's what it looks like now. And in turn, that message, the developers were also in the audience last night. So it gets their attention, says, okay. We don't want to stop development, but we want to make sure it's done responsibly and you all are paying attention.
Yeah. So ultimately 5 and 6 did move forward.
Yep.
They are
5 and 6
approved.
Move forward. They're approved, and they'll go on to the second consideration in September.
Okay. It'll come back.
Yep.
Under bids last night, there was an item that was actually ended up being tabled.
Right.
But it concerns an item that we've talked about here before, and this was a property in Mandan, right in Mandan proper, that
property
has been
in Mandan near the old Mandan Junior High that we have had issues with for a long time, and it's just kind of shows you how long it takes when, you know, private property owner rights are very important in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And you can't just, city commission, county, whatever, yeah, can't just come in and do whatever they want to a person's property. There is a process in place, right, and that process takes a long time to move through. Last night, we had, earlier this summer, the commission had approved to go out for bids for demolition of a house on this property.
That was deemed unsafe.
That was deemed unsafe and condemned, and there should be no one in that building at all. Property owners had 30 days in which to come up with a remedy. They did not, and in turn, the commission approved putting that out for demolition bids. Mm-hmm. We received one demolition bid last night, or received it last week. The city was able to consider that last night, and, you know, last minute we get an offer, not the city, but the property owner has an offer from someone else to buy the property. You know, it's a good thing, because if that should happen, then that new property owner, their intention is to, you know, completely clean out that property, tear
They'll
the house down,
yeah,
backfill it, and they want to build a house on mm-hmm. that property, and they will take care of it. So, in essence, the city won't have to go in and hire a contractor to demolition it. We would then put the cost of that on special assessments against that property, and if the property owner, you know, is unable to pay the taxes and pay the specials on that, you know, it'll take years for that to come back to the city.
Sure.
Oh, so in this case, it's a pretty good
better deal.
If things work out, it's a very, very much a better deal for the whole neighborhood and for everyone involved.
And the future, potential mm-hmm. future owner was there last night, and so
right,
they're hoping to wrap up this sale pretty quickly.
Yep. We had a purchase agreement was entered into on yesterday. And there was going to be the final signatures happen today and some money exchange hands. So then it's a matter of closing on the property. And then they said they would get right in and start demoing that.
It takes the city out of it.
Takes us out of it, which is
much
cleaner. A good thing. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, under consent agenda last night, there was an item they thought we might want to mention. Mm-hmm. It did not get any discussion last night. It was approved. And that was the addition or recommendation from the parking authority.
Correct.
To add some 90-minute zones in the downtown area.
Yep. This is in front of Napa Auto Parts Store. And they had come in to our parking authority, which is another committee that we have, and said, hey, we've got a lot of folks that are seeming to like to park in front of our store and along that block all day.
Mm-hmm.
And can we add a 90-minute parking zone there, similar to what we have in other areas downtown? Parking authority said, yes, we don't have an issue with that. But we also want our parking attendant to go down and check with the neighbors and say,
sure,
are you okay with this? And everybody came
just
back.
Just a heads up on that one.
Heads
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And so that will be signed shortly, as soon as we have the signs ordered and our public works guys will install them.
Well, I would think that this is indicative of a growing downtown
yeah.
area. This is just an expansion of limited parking. It's important to the retailers and restaurants in that area. That there's turnover and that people aren't there all day long.
It's the yin and the yang of parking.
Absolutely.
Parking, is it a problem? Is it a parking problem or is that a parking opportunity? It's a good thing to have a lot of cars in your downtown. Means there's people downtown and they're mm-hmm. frequenting your establishments, which yep. is awesome. Limiting them to a 90 minutes usually takes care of, you know, 90% of them.
Well, we talked prior, I asked the question, what was there before this mm-hmm. 90 minute? And you said it was unlimited. And
unlimited,
that is
correct.
Problematic in a
yep.
in a high traffic area.
Yep. And when I said unlimited, it's unlimited except for the times when we're clearing snow and
sure.
the times that we are doing street sweeping yep. and things like that. So yep. During the day, normally it is unlimited all day parking.
So now
it'll be 90 minutes. So
your car parker
a new area for Alan Decker, our parking attendant, to enforce.
Adding to her map.
Yep.
So that sounds good. Under old business, there was a item that came back to the commission, again, talking about a variances
variance,
for a driveway
yes.
width. And this was this is residential property in the Lakewood area.
Correct. And their request was to add another driveway on their residential property to accommodate an RV in addition onto their house. Last meeting, the commission said, you really need to check with your HOA because we know there's a very active HOA in this area or a homeowners association mm-hmm. and make sure that you've got their blessing before you come back. So the applicant went there. We received notification from the HOA that, yeah, we're okay with this. They made some modifications to, I think they have their own architectural review committee in that HOA made some modifications to their addition, said we don't have an issue with the variance being granted, because again, here we have an area in a residential part where there's quite a bit of distance between the two driveways, which makes snow removal, and that's our main priority in there. Plus, on the south side of the street, there's a conservation easement from North Dakota Parks and Recs where the snow can be pushed there versus in two driveways, and we do our best to do that. So there's some remedies in this case. Commission, again, the remedy is staff recommends this is what the ordinance says. Here's what our recommendation is to deny. The remedy for the homeowner is bring it up to City Commission. City Commission heard both sides. City Commission decided, yeah, we'll allow this variance because we feel there's some valid reasons here.
Yeah, that one went through.
Yep.
Under new business, Midway Lanes is expanding, and they had an application for some property tax exemption on the addition that they're planning.
Right, only on the addition. It's an 8,000 square foot addition. I think Mr. Mellon and crew are looking at adding on some retail space out there along with additional meeting and game rooms, and they'll do some kind of rearranging of what they have out there. So pretty exciting. That's a significant addition, I think over $1 million. And like I said, the Midway Lanes continues to grow and be a kind of a staple in that community.
Oh, yeah, they've been down there a long time.
Yep.
Nice to see the expansion. I think Lloyd might have a picture of that. He could pop up of the building. And the side of the building will be on the east side, so I believe it's on this side.
On the east side, they'll take up a little bit of their parking, but they've got more than adequate parking. They'll have to add some greenery and some trees, I think, as part of our green space requirements
because right now
it's kind of an asphalt jungle out there, as they call it, and we like to see a little more greenery with some new requirements that we
have. To see this
very good expansion for the strip and like I said, very good to see.
Yeah, good traffic generator for the strip down there.
Yep.
Also under new business was the Midtown East Street Improvement District moved forward with a choice of more engineering to go move forward with that.
Again, we put out a request for proposals or request for qualifications earlier this summer. I think we had 7 different engineering firms. And there's a process. We go through and rank those proposals based on what they provide us in writing. Mm-hmm. Take the top 3 or 4, do in-person interviews with them with a panel of folks. Those panel folks score and rate those, and more engineering came out on top. I understand it's a very tight race for the 3 or 4 on top, but more engineering came out on top. So we'll hopefully get them under contract in the first part of September. And in turn, we'll start what we call the Midtown East, which we're trying to do our street improvement projects moving from east from Mandan Avenue, going west. And like I said, this area would be to the east of Collins Avenue in the downtown area. So,
and this area was also analyzed for the quality of the pavement not too long ago. And this is, we've got a little map we popped up here and it shows, the condition of
Our
pavement up there is not good.
When we do the pavement condition index or the PCI, there's a van that drives around and takes all these kinds of pictures and analyzes what kind of pavement in this condition. And if you're looking at in this area, a lot of the red lines you would see if you're watching it is rated as unsatisfactory. And those are the areas that, that we have not a lot of unsatisfactory, but we're trying to get those in a logical basis on which we're attacking this.
So this is a project for 2020?
Yep, we look at doing this the summer of 2020. It involves street, curb. Also, we've got some stormwater issues up there that we're aware of. So there'll be a little bit of that. And there'll be some, we try and do waterline replacements when we do this too. And we pay for the waterline out of our utility fund. So we don't special assess that to the property.
So more engineering is going to move forward with the design. And then also get some cost estimates. This is a special assessment district. So it'll go through those steps as well.
Go through those steps. And so, we don't like to send those letters out in the middle of winter because that's usually Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's time, but that's kind of the nature of the timing of this. If we want to get bids out and get as favorable bids back as we can, we try and get the project out in the wintertime so that the contractors have an opportunity to bid.
Yeah. Another project that's moving forward it's under new business, but we've been talking about this, is Dykeshorn Park, Heritage Plaza, the library, the donation from Energy Transfer. Yep. all of this coming together. And last night, the commission chose the architectural group to move it forward.
Right. We received word in the first part of June that we would be receiving the grant from Energy Transfer of, you know, $3 million split up over 2 years. So our process started immediately. As soon as we received notification, we put out a request for qualifications, I think June 21st. We received three different proposals. We ranked those, we scored those proposals based on what we had in the RFQ, mm-hmm. and then we did interviews of all three firms that made proposals last week. And the unanimous recommendation was for Bartlett and West. Again, kind of like with Moore, we'll take the next 2 weeks, we'll do some contract negotiating, bring that final contract for the commission on September 3rd, and we'll get this project moving. So pretty exciting for the library and for Dykstra and Heritage Park area, that another one of those really good things that we look forward to next year.
And I think we need to mention that Commissioner Larson recused herself from this discussion and from the voting on this because she is an employee of that
organization. Yep, and we've been very careful about that as to there's been no communication with her throughout this process so far. And like I said, that's just to keep all hands above board, and
absolutely,
we're very cognizant of that.
Well, it'll be exciting. And again, there are some road projects that are going to be happening downtown next year, too. So there's going to be a lot of action. And that's really adding to the whole ambiance of the downtown area. I
think kind of that coordination. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, if we've got the conversion from 4-lane to 3-lane west of Collins Avenue out to 10th.
Some streetscape improvements already
like
scheduled.
We'll just have to make sure we're not falling over each other and getting these projects done.
Yeah, and I'm sure to keep some of the design elements consistent as well will be really nice.
No, we're excited this
and
one's moving forward.
I was down, drove through, was in and around Mandan last week and saw the flowers hanging downtown. They're beautiful.
Yep,
those were really nice.
The Mandan Flowers Group through the Chamber's Leadership Program. The hanging flower baskets were installed. They did kind of a ribbon cutting,
gorgeous,
so to speak, on Monday afternoon. And yeah, they're looking, they've survived survived the little kind of mini hailstorm we had 2 weeks ago and have come back really nice. So it's nice to see.
It's a nice addition, yeah. Under resolutions and ordinances, final consideration last night about the animals on city property.
We've talked about that before, the issue of people bringing their dogs into Dykstra and Heritage Parks and not cleaning up after them. And this has been going on for quite some time. And we need to adopt an ordinance that says, you know, the city commission may ban animals from city-owned property only. Parks and schools are their own entities. They can do with what
this
they want.
This excludes service vehicles
Animals. Service animals are,
thank you,
are still allowed as long as you've got your paperwork with and things like that. And it would be if you have your dog in there, it'll be a $20 ticket.
So that moved forward. That was approved. And then the next agenda item was specific to Dykstra Park Heritage Plaza area. Will be signed permanently,
as I understand. So those are the two city-owned properties that we are going to ban dogs and animals from are those two.
And then the police department has the authority now to ticket anyone who is bringing animal onto those properties.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Again, use your common sense and things like that. We always tell folks, but this gives us some teeth when people kind of disregard the safety and the cleanliness of the park.
Yeah, I'm getting some signals that we got to wrap up pretty soon. But the final item on the agenda then was final consideration of the unattended trailers and campers and park vehicles on the street.
Vehicles on the street. We talked about this last time. We've had issues with people. Some people will take their camper and park it in front of someone else's house. We think that's odd to do, but I think Deputy Chief Flayton gave the statistics on how many times we have issues in town.
Complaints.
And I think it was 70 or 80. I can't remember the
just
final
this
number.
Year.
Just this year.
Yeah.
And so it's not a one or two isolated incident. It's very common. Commission made a change to the ordinance from a 20-foot long vehicle to, I think, a 36-foot long vehicle last night, and so that is in place right now, and we'll move forward.
All right.
So 12 hours
immediately.
The time that becomes effective immediately, and the time really, as Deputy Chief Flayton said last night, while it's 12 hours, by the time we come out and we mark or we ticket, we put a mark orange sticker on your vehicle, you will come back 12 hours later, see if it's still there. So it's really a 24-hour, but At least it provides some consistency in what we've been trying to do.
And this also increases the fine.
Increases the fine from, I think, $20 to $50.
Okay.
So, yeah, we wish it were an isolated incident, but it happens more than one may think.
Obviously.
Yes.
More often than you like. So we're going to wrap up, but just want to remind people that the budget hearing, the public hearing for the Mandan budget for 2020 is September 17th.
September 17th at 6 o'clock. Residents should be receiving a notification from the Morton County Auditor that has schools, county, park district, and city commission meetings when the budget hearings will be held, and you'll be invited to attend all of those.
Budgets online to look at?
Budgets, I believe, our preliminary budgets should be online right now. If you want to take a gander at those, feel free to. Greg Welch, our finance director, does a nice job putting that together. Yeah. And like I said, public hearing Tuesday, September 17th at 6 p.m.
Yeah. And the business pitch challenge is still taking applications.
Applications until October 1st, I believe.
You got
it. And then November 12th
is the event.
So if you're interested, please
check out the website.
Check out our website, citymandan.com, under business development. And there's another event going on in between now where new entrepreneurs will come and give you ideas and things like that. Always a good event to go to as you're preparing your business plan for the business pitch challenge.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Well, we'll see you in a couple of weeks again.
Thanks, Mary.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Yep.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.